Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lending Forward. I'm Eliza Delgado, and I am here today with one of my favorite people on the planet. Her name is Cynthia Walsh, and she is the CEO of the Brunswick County Association of Realtors. Welcome, Cynthia.
Hey,
thanks
girl,
for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks so much. You're so sweet.
Okay, well, let's just jump right in. First of all, talk to me a little bit about your role with the association. What does that look like for you? You've been there for 8 years. And also, I want to jump in by saying I'm so grateful for this association in particular, because you guys do such a great job with supporting your affiliates, engaging your affiliates, supporting your realtors, and injecting a lot of fun along the way. So with that being said, talk to me about your role, and talk to me a little bit about what it looks like to serve in your
okay.
seat.
So I have been doing this role, the CEO, for I guess about 8 years, but I've been here, this is so ridiculous to say out loud, 18 years. I mean, who works anywhere for 18 years anymore? But that's how long I've been here. So I have kind of served in every capacity, all the different departments. Which I think made me sort of uniquely qualified when I took over as CEO, knowing how all the other kind of spokes work on this wheel. So my day looks never the same, no matter what day it is. Never, even if I'm working on the same project, even if it's the same class I'm teaching, it's never the same. Ever. That is the beauty of working in this world, in the association world. You do the same thing year after year in a very cyclical manner, but every day is a totally different day. So that's kind of what my days look like here at the association world. Did I capture that? Was that, yeah?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, I think we talked about this before in terms of, you know, you become a realtor, you become licensed, or you're an affiliate. But for the most part, from the realtor side, they don't really get to choose what association they become a part of. It's who their brokers in charge kind of tell them they need to be plugged into. So how does a realtor really maximize their membership with an association? And this is, you know, acknowledging that every association has a very different personality. There are very different dynamics at play. What does it look like for a realtor to maximize their opportunities? And what has it looked like for you to find more opportunities to bring
yeah,
to your realtors?
So it wouldn't be that much different than any other venture you would take on, any other hobby, right? You're going to kind of immerse yourself in that, and you're going to learn all the little tips and tricks. If you're, like, you know, retiling your bathroom, you're going to be looking at videos and pictures and things. We want you to do the same thing with this career. So that involves reading. I know, and it's not everybody's fave thing to do, but there are so many great articles that are free, and we put a lot of them together, package them up in newsletters and information that we send out to members, just to kind of keep you looped in. So it really involves you kind of immersing yourself. It's not gonna come find you. This information, this data, it's not gonna chase you. You have got to actively go out and seek it. And I know everybody's listened to some self-help person somewhere say you've got to kind of segment your day. Oh man, I'm here to break it to you. You really do need to do that. And you've got to figure out what time of day you're just going to catch up on all of the articles that are out there and all the things, whether it's from your local association, from a national publication, whatever it might be. That would be the most helpful thing that they could do, is just skim, if not fully immerse themselves in some of the information that certainly we at the local association are sending out.
I would add to that too, not to put words in your mouth, but I would add to that too, just immersing yourself in the culture of the association. You know, one of the great things about your association in particular is you have such a seasoned bench of realtors that are part of Brunswick County specifically, who have been in the market for years and years. And, you know, one of the things that we're talking about is realtors, by virtue of just kind of the nature of the role, it tends to be a second career. So talk to me about, you know, one of the things that we talked about previously as well, bringing in that next generation of realtor. What does that look like and how are we finding them? I know we talked about there's certain attributes of the ideal realtor. What does that look like from where you sit in your perspective?
Yeah, so, you know, from an association level, we don't recruit, right? Because they're joining us as a de facto after they join a firm or because they want the benefits and services that we offer. So we don't go out and actively recruit, but there is, although we are mostly a second career, so that's a definite age range, right, of members that it typically is, but there is what they would call this segment of the young professionals, people that either graduate high school, maybe go to college, maybe take some business at college, and then go get their real estate license. Definitely, you've got to be, I will say the advantage of somebody younger coming into this is going to be your general technology comfort level, right? Because that's where you would have that's where somebody like that would have the great advantage. On somebody maybe second career, where we are at the association providing some kind of real basic technology stuff, well, they've already got that, right? They don't need us for that. And they have this comfort level of networking virtually and doing all the things that you really need to do to kind of develop your sphere. Is especially somebody young coming in, you might, maybe you've got people you graduated high school with, and if you're still in this area, sure, maybe you've got this little kind of built-in bubble, but that's also not who's necessarily buying in our market. We are also the home of, or the land of second homes and retirement homes. So that's its own unique group of maybe people from the outside coming in, or definitively, really, for both of those, it's people from the outside coming in. So, you know, you have got to have a discipline with finances, for sure, because you are not making a weekly paycheck. So you've got to know how to budget and finance and be really driven with going out and finding your sphere of influence that you are going to work with. So, yeah.
We also talked about the mindset of realtors, and that's really kind of the best thing that we can offer in supporting, you know, across the age ranges, across the seasonality of whether it's a first career, second career, even third or fourth career. A lot of what, you know, you aim to do is to support their mindset and helping them succeed and providing them the tools between technology and education and all those kinds of things, which is one of the other things that I love about working with associations is there's so many resources. You just got to find the one that's going to work for you. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, the affiliates. You know, obviously, you know, I'm on the mortgage banking side, so we're huge champions of supporting our local associations. So talk to me about affiliates and what does a great affiliate look like from the association standpoint? And, you know, how do we come alongside you guys and really help support the work that you're doing in your region?
Yeah. So first off, okay, just going to toot horn here. So as of Friday, we had 141 affiliate members. That is, anybody outside of the association world, they're gonna be like, big deal. But that is a ridiculously large number of affiliates that choose to join BCAR because of the services and all the opportunities we try and give them. We try and give affiliates as much benefit as we do our members, right? That's kind of easy to quantify. So we've really got to work and get creative to come up with our affiliates. Our affiliates just taught new member orientation this morning. I had two affiliate sponsors. I had affiliates in the room because we invite our affiliates to come to new member orientation because I do a little orientation for them too. The number of opportunities and the ways that an affiliate can kind of be a good affiliate is you know, respond and come to all of our events. We try and have a lot of a variety of different kinds of events. We have some that are just structured for affiliates, but I know what y'all want is to mix and mingle. So more of our stuff is with our realtor members and everything. So just respond. We have so many opportunities to sponsor. And when I say sponsor, I don't mean like thousands of dollars. I could be looking for a $25 gift card. Yeah. And you get 10 minutes in front of the class. And that 10 minutes, look, my affiliate this morning, that went a solid 15, 20 minutes. Class was engaged. They were asking questions. It was a home inspector. So it can go like that. We count on our affiliates, not only just for the not just for the money, for the sponsorship, but they show up and they're dialed in and they're, look, if we have a theme party and everybody's wearing a toga, they're all wearing togas. They are in it with us, and it is fantastic. So, yeah, we are all about our affiliates here as much as we possibly can.
And you do a great job at it, and I can attest to that because I am one of those affiliates. I haven't worn a toga yet, though, but that's not to say that wouldn't come in the future.
Oh, that event is coming.
that's so funny. So, you know, going back to the idea of creativity, you know, like I said earlier, obviously, you know, just as well as I do, affiliates across the market, across the country, you know, they all have their own different identities. One of the great things that you guys do at VCAR is you inject a lot of creativity into your monthly updates, into your monthly, you know, market updates and things like that. So talk to me a little bit about how you come up with your ideas. You are about as creative as they come. And I know that's a great source of, you know, discussion amongst, you know, anybody who gets your updates because they're always so entertaining. So talk to me a little bit.
Really?
About that. Yes.
Okay. So you're going to put a link so everybody can see my monthly career ending. way I affiliate myself doing stats, me and the staff. Honestly, it literally starts at lunch with staff. We just sit there and kind of brainstorm the next, you know, 4 months. And it just makes me laugh because what you're watching is the best of our ideas. You have no idea what we threw out. The ideas where we were like, nah, that's bad. And you've got to go on and watch. So my goal, I have a 25-year-old son, and my goal is to make him cringe on a monthly basis. If I get the cringe, then I know I've nailed it. So yeah, look, the stats are super important, right? And stats are kind of notorious because you do have the ability to manipulate and put stats in a certain bucket so they might not look as bad. We don't do that. They are out there. We put them out monthly. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that we are the keeper of that data. Nobody knows the data better than we do. And I pull those stats, I crunch those numbers, and I put those up. So yeah, these videos are ridiculously silly, but once you get past, we just want to get you watching. And it's like 2 minutes. And we go through the monthly residential stuff in there. So, that would be helpful to the public. This is not just, we put them out there for the public. It's not just for members, it's for everybody. I'm humiliating myself on all platforms. So it's good, watch them.
So when we're talking about the statistics, you know, let's talk really broadly about what the market is doing. You know, obviously you're sitting in Brunswick County, North Carolina, in terms of, you know, there's second homes market, there's a lot of higher price point homes, yep. But you're still not immune to the effects of what's happening, you know, nationally in terms of, you know, inventory being what it is. So what are you seeing? What does it look like for you? And, you know, how do you guys navigate that in supporting your realtors?
You know, there's not a lot of inventory because nobody wants to sell their house and buy another one with an 8% rate just about right now. There were some national kind of numbers crunched about when people will start to move. And I think that number was about 4% was when, like 4 or 5% when you'd start to see some things loosen up. So right now, unfortunately, the inventory isn't high. And what we do get is still moving for the most part. And kind of this is an average number in a 50-day window. So that means from the moment it goes up on the MLS or up for sale till the time when no backup offers can be accepted, and closing, that could be the bigger delay. Maybe that might tack another 30 days on. But you're talking a month to 2 months. That is not a lot of time to pack. Like, you better be ready if you're putting your house up, because it is going to sell. People are still moving here. We still have a really unique market that people want to live at. They have vacationed here their whole lives, and they're either ready to buy that home, or just, you know, because of working from home and all the flexibility we have now, they just want to they want to live and work here. So we haven't seen a big slowdown yet. This can change month to month, but up until this month, no, we have not seen a slowdown at all. So things are still moving right along.
And that's the difference between markets. And so one of the reasons why I asked that question is because, you know, you hear the national headlines, but then when you drill down to local communities, that's where knowing your local associations and what's happening at the local level matters so much. And, you know, it's one of the big ideas that I wanted to get across is, you know, we hear so much just on the news and, you know, making sure that we're aware of, you know, what's happening right next to us. That's the piece that matters the most. And people are still buying houses every day. So
yes,
it doesn't mean that they're not. It just means it's a little bit slower or maybe a little bit different.
Right. I mean, that whole term, all real estate is local, that is true. Mm-hmm. It is very, very, very true. And when I mean local, I mean hyper local, because it can be very different here than it is in like Raleigh or Charlotte. We are two totally different markets.
Yep.
Totally different. So you're right. And that does, it is one of those things when the national news reports on what's going on in Las Vegas, that is not what's going on in Brunswick County.
Yeah, and Brunswick County is a huge building county because there is a lot more green space and land available to develop. So
absolutely. So, and so much has been approved and is starting. It's just starting. So yeah, for sure. I don't see a slowdown without something on a larger economic scale happening anytime soon.
So what we're saying is this is basically a big commercial for Brunswick County.
Okay, yeah, Brunswick County and BCAR, yeah.
And I mean that as a Brunswick County resident, but I mean, it's also one of those things where it matters, these things matter.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, you know, just the differences between markets, like you just mentioned Charlotte or you just mentioned Raleigh, obviously Brunswick County, you know, obviously every association, they exist for the sole purpose of supporting realtors, and there's no recruiting. It is who it is, who is assigned to that, you know, association. So talk to me a little bit about how you collaborate with other associations to, you know, generate ideas or learn from each other. What does that look like from your seat or for your staff as well? Like, what are you learning from each other? What kind of cross-pollination do you have with other associations?
Yeah, it was, I learned really early on that there is no, the unique part about us is nobody's stealing our business, right? I mean, like you had said in the very beginning, people join us because their brokers in charge, their firms, their companies, put it in their policy manual that they have to join the local association as part of, you know, becoming an agent that works for this franchise. So they're going to come in and they're going to join. Nobody calls around and let me get prices on associations. No, nobody does that. It's a lot more streamlined. So when something comes up, whether I have a question or another association is having trouble, I collaborate the heck out of some stuff. I will share anything. I will share manuals I put together. I will share classes that I had. I teach new member orientation for our new AE orientation for the state. There's nothing that I'm not going to share, because it's only going to benefit the greater whole, right? The greater realtor brand and all of us together working together. So yeah, I don't feel any competition from anyone else, because it just doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I love that, because that just basically kind of reinforces the idea that it's not a silo just because you're in a particular community. There is a lot of cross-pollination and cross-sharing of information and resources. So I really love that. Now, one of the things that I really love, especially, is, you know, when we engage with communities, and this is just beyond the Realtor Association, you know, obviously there's BCAR Cares, which is the community-focused group within, you know, BCAR, the association. So talk to me about, you know, the work that BCarCare does and what it is to, you know, even, you know, if you're working within or living within a community, tapping into your local associations that have some kind of give back opportunity like this. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I think it was about 2016, 2017, the National Association of Realtors kind of decided that the local associations all needed a report card. And one of the items on that report card is making sure that the community knows that realtors give back and that we are involved with our communities, which most of us have been doing since the beginning of time, right? But there is an interesting stat that realtors actually, as a whole, do more volunteering than any other kind of group collectively as a whole, just by nature. And it's probably got a little bit to do with, because it is a second career, because a lot of this is almost a retirement second career, it's the mindset of the giving back too, that we have so much involvement. So anyway, a part of all that, we created our BCAR Gives Back group and BCAR Cares. And we kind of set some policies up on what we're going to give back to, because we get a lot of requests for a lot of different things. But we made it a goal to do at least 12 give back to the community a year, one for every month. And we either nail it or surpass it every year. And it could just be like, we just got done collecting blankets and pet food for the shelter, for the animal shelters. Or it could be we're collecting like protein drinks and nutritional drinks for the senior centers. We do a huge at Christmas. It's not just about toys and bicycles, it's about food. And it's a big drive that we do that services this entire county, which, by the way, is huge, right? It's 1,050 square miles big, so that's a lot of people in this area that you know, can use some help around the holidays. So we do a lot. We work with Habitat. We do so much, and it is, I will tell you, does your heart good. It is the committee that gets the most volunteers every year. It is the one we have to say, okay, we can only take like 10 or 15 people, and we have to turn like 20, 25 people away, because that's how many people want to serve on this committee. We never have to beg anybody to show up at an event, whether it's pounding some nails at Habitat, handing out drinks at a golf tournament, whatever it might be. We never have to ask twice. It is something that makes my heart feel good, and I'm super proud of, and it makes the members really happy too. So
I love that. So with, you know, kind of the last couple of minutes that we have together, and I know I asked you this question, you're like, oh man, I really have to think about this. So I hope you've thought about it, but if there's one thing that you were the proudest of at the association in your time there and what you've worked on, is there one thing that stands out? And if there isn't, that's okay.
So from a purely personal level, I would say the one thing I'm proud of, is the fact that my staff has been with me as long as they have, and they are all, I've hired two in since my time here. The other one came in right before I took over, and one of them, her and I had worked together so long that she was the guardian for my son when he was still a minor. That's how long her and I have worked together. So if you put us collectively together, my staff has over 50 years of association knowledge, which is kind of amazing. And we all have at least 10 additional designations and certifications and additional classes and knowledge after our names to enhance what we do best here, and that we can all pick up the phone and answer calls when our members call in. We are not the, oh wait, let me transfer, let me get you. No, we've kind of all know. We know a little bit to be dangerous about each other's jobs, but we do have a focus. So I think I'm really proud of that, that my staff still loves to come into work and does that, or I'm holding them all hostage. It's whatever, however you want to read.
Either way, it's a lot of fun to be held hostage by Cynthia Walsh.
It's a win for the members.
Yeah. It's a win for the members. That's right. So with the final minute that we have together, I know I also asked you this question to think about. So how are you lending it forward?
For sure, I am lending it forward with my knowledge and my kind of time served in this role. I serve as a mentor to on a state and national level to new AEs that come in, and I try and I don't want anybody to have to recreate the wheel and kind of go slog through some of the stuff that I had to slog through to learn things. So I am super happy to share it and make somebody else's life easier, so they can focus on some other stuff, like creating embarrassing videos every month. You know, something they can focus on something else and not the kind of stuff that I had to slog through. So I am all about sharing my knowledge.
Awesome. Well, Cynthia, I wanted to say thank you so much for joining us today. I hope the people that listened to our conversation learned something about their local associations and specifically about the wonderful things that you're doing with Brunswick County Association of Realtors. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch everybody next time. Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.